It was 2 o'clock in the morning. She was sitting in her car waiting for her friend to get off of work. Her friend was working at a restaurant and working that late Friday night shift. And so she went to pick up her friend from work. She got off that job at 2 a.m. Her friend came out of the door of the restaurant about 2 o'clock and got in the passenger seat of the car. They started to drive back to their apartment. Two college girls. Driver of the car was a 21-year-old nursing student in her third year. Her friend who was there, 20-year-old friend, she had known since high school. She was also a nursing student. Both of them trying to make a living while they're in school. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, they start driving back to their apartment to go to bed. They're driving on a 6-lane highway, similar to what you might think of military trail. 6-lane road divided by a median, traveling eastbound, going about 50 miles an hour, so not very fast. 10 minutes after they left the restaurant at 2:10 a.m., there was a car that was traveling westbound. They're traveling eastbound about 50 miles an hour. It's a car that's coming westbound, traveling about 55 or 60 miles an hour. And that car lost control of their car, jumped over the median, slammed into the car that was being driven by those two college-age girls. The impact threw that car, as well as other cars, to the side of the road. Paramedics had to come and cut the two nursing students out of the car, cutting the roof of that car off. The impact had caused the A-frame of the driver's side of that car where the impact had come in, had caused that to be crushed in more than 16 inches, the inspector said. And both girls were life-flighted to the hospital for emergency surgery. The 20-year-old passenger was in serious condition, had to undergo a number of surgeries, but she made it. She finished her schooling and is a nurse today. 21-year-old driver, who was her third year nursing student, planned to be a pediatric nurse and to help children, was taken to that operating room, but the inspector's report said there in the operating room she expired. Why did that happen? Two girls that were just trying to make a living and trying to put themselves through school to do good things. On neither side, on neither driver, was there alcohol or drugs involved. There was not excessive speeds that were involved. Why did something like that have to happen? Because as we know, there are certain realities that we face. And one of the realities that we face, every single one of us, is the reality of death. Is the reality that death can come to anyone. Death is no respecter of persons. There's not certain people that death is reserved for and other people that it's not. The Bible says that death shows no partiality. And when you think about an accident like that, you think, why did that have to happen? Because death can come to anyone. Sometimes we think about death being reserved to those who are of old age. We think, well, that's just natural. That's what's supposed to happen. We read about Jacob in Genesis chapter 47, where the Bible says he was 147 years old. And in chapter 49, after he talked to his sons, the Bible says he drew his legs up into his bed and he breathed his last. He died of old age. And we say that's just natural. But that's not all the people who die. Death is not just for those who are of old age. Death, we know, comes because of disease. We hear the word cancer. And it's not a word that we want to hear. We hear the word cancer, and in our minds, the word death is not far behind in our imaginations, because it's a reality that we face, and it can come to anybody. Of Elisha, the great prophet, it says in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, that he became sick, and the Bible says, with an illness of which he would die. How many people have we known who have died of disease? Who we say, we might make a statement, they went before their time. That's just our terminology, because they've been taken by disease. Sometimes people die because of an accident. Like this car accident. Like car accidents that you have known of people that you have loved. Sometimes we joke about it. But I don't think it was a joking matter in Acts chapter 20 and verse 9, where that young man named Eutychus fell out of the window and died. He died because of an accident. Death shows no partiality. How many children have you known who have died? David's baby, as far as we can tell, was 7 days old. And he died. Some of you have had little babies who have died. Because the reality is that death can come to anyone. And death can come at any time. James chapter 4, what does the Bible say? Sometimes we quote the end of the verse more than we quote the beginning of the verse. James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Do you? You do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. Death can come at any time. Psalm 90 and verse 6 says, it's like a flower, it's like the grass that blooms in the morning and then it's dead at night. Death can come at any time. It's a reality. It's a reality that we all know. But how often is it a reality that we think about? Can I ask you to get your calendar out for a second? I know some of your calendars look like this. I ask you to get your calendar out for a minute. I'm going to open my calendar app for a minute. And it says that today is Sunday, September 22nd. And I get my calendar out. And I want you to do this with me on your calendar. I want you to look on your calendar. And I'm going to look on mine. And as you look on your calendar, I want you to find the day on your calendar when you are going to die. You're still looking? The day. Just tell me the. Just keep looking. Tell me the day. Okay, just tell me the month. Ballpark it. Just tell me the month. Just the month that you're going to die. You can't. Okay. Go even bigger. Give me the year. If you can't get the day or the month, just get the year. Just give me the year. Can't do that either, can you? Because death can come at any time. Can you tell me that you will not die today? I've still got my calendar up to today. Can you tell me that you are not going to die today? You can't do it, can you? If you could tell me that you were not going to die today, then I would tell you, you don't need to do anything today to get ready to die. Because it's not going to happen today. But if you can't tell me it's not going to happen today, then you tell me when you need to get ready for the day that you might die. And the answer, friend, is you need to do it today. Because death not only can come, to anyone. Death not only can come at any time, the Bible says that death will come to everyone. Not just it can come, it will come to everyone. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says it's appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointment that you will not miss. It is an appointment you cannot reschedule. It is an appointment that you may not be able to say, you know what, can we put that off until tomorrow? It is an appointment that will come. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5, Solomon says, you know what the living know? The living know that they will die. They might not know a whole lot of other things, but they know that they will die. Because of what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden when they brought sin into this world, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 22, because of what they did, all die. It's a reality. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter how healthy or how unhealthy you are. It is a reality that we will all face, and the Bible describes death as being a separation. Not talking about a separation from loved ones, being a separation from those people on this earth, but the Bible describes separation as the body dying, but the spirit separating from it, James 2 and verse 26, the spirit leaving the body and going somewhere else. It's a separation. The body is dead without the spirit. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7 says that the body, the dust, returns unto the earth from whence it came. And the spirit leaves the body. The spirit doesn't go down into the ground into the earth, but the body does. The spirit leaves the body, and the spirit goes elsewhere. This morning, death is a reality that we need to think about. It's not one that we want to think about. It's a reality we need to think about. It can and it will come. And because you can't tell me when it's going to come for you, you need to make some preparations today. Because at that point of separation, when the body goes into the ground and the spirit leaves, there's only two possible places that spirit is going to go. Now, there's the one place that we like to think about. There's the one place that the Bible says is a real place. This isn't fiction. This isn't make-believe. This isn't once upon a time fairy tale stuff. Heaven is a real place. In John 14, Jesus said to his friends, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Is God real? Yes, God's real. You believe in God, He's real. Believe also in me." Is Jesus real? He's sitting there talking to them. Is He real? You believe in God, He's real. Believe also in me, I'm real. In my Father's house. Is that real? His Father's house is just as real as the Father is and just as real as the Son is. In my Father's house are many rooms, are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, if it weren't real, I would have told you. And so I go to prepare a real place for you. Heaven is real. Do you want to go there? Is that the place that you long to be? Is that the reality that you long for all of eternity? Because that's how the Bible describes it. And not only describes it as a real place, it describes it as an eternal place. A place that it says that when you live there, it is eternal life. Matthew 25 and verse 46 talks about the righteous will go unto eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John 3 and verse 16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God says this place is going to last forever for those who are there. It is a place of eternal salvation. It is a place of eternal redemption. It is a place of eternal inheritance. There's a lot of words that the Bible uses to describe heaven, but these are just the ones that it says it's eternal. It's going to last forever. And isn't that what you love about heaven? Isn't what you love about heaven is the concept that when I go there, I will be with God forever. I'd love to be with God for just a minute, just for a second, just for a short period of time. But how about being with God forever? When the Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the return of Jesus, and those who are the children of God are taken by Jesus from this earth at the end of time, the Bible says those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with those in Christ who have died before. We'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's what heaven is. Are you going to heaven? Do you know right now? Do you know right now that you're going to heaven? Because when the body is put into the grave, the spirit leaves the body, the spirit's going to go to one of two realities. The spirit's going to go to heaven, or you're going to go to hell. There are only two options. There are only two places. And just as real as heaven is, hell is a real place. It's not fiction. It's not something that somebody made up in order to scare somebody else into a certain lifestyle. It is real. The same Jesus who told us about the real heaven is the same Jesus who told us about the real hell. Matthew 10 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." It's the same Jesus in Mark 9 who described hell as a place where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. He said that more than three times in that chapter. It's a real place. Not just real. It is an eternal place. That same word, eternal, that's used to describe heaven, that same word that we love about heaven that's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and those who go to heaven will never, ever, 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 ever leave, the same word we love about heaven is the same word that's used in the Bible to describe hell. Forever, for however long heaven is, that's exactly how long hell is. It's the same word. The Bible describes heaven as eternal life. You know the Bible, Jesus describes hell as eternal fire. Eternal fire. A place, as we saw in Mark chapter 9, a place where the fire is not quenched. The fire never goes out because it always has something to feed on. It's a place the Bible describes as a place of eternal punishing, eternal punishment. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse 46. Punishment indicates consciousness. Those who are in that realm are not unconscious. They are conscious of their surroundings. They are conscious of the punishment that they are enduring. The book of Revelation describes it as a place of eternal torment. Here's eternal fire that is eternally punishing those who are there, who are undergoing eternal torment, who are undergoing at that point eternal destruction that 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 says is away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power forever and ever away from Him. The Bible describes this place as an eternal punishment, an eternal judgment, and those who are there are in essence, in Jude verse 6, in eternal chains. There's a lot of words that are used to describe hell. These are just the ones that have the word eternal associated with them. Death is not something that we can escape. Death is not something that we can say, well, no, it's not going to happen to me. We can't wish it away. We can't want it away. It can happen. It will happen. And when that separation comes, the body will be here on the earth, but you, your spirit, will leave and go either to heaven or will go to hell. This morning we are talking about four realities that are facing you right now. Not will face you. Four realities that are facing you right now. Number one, death. Number two, heaven. Number three, hell. What's the fourth reality that's facing you right now? Between death and heaven and hell is going to come a judgment. What do I need to do in order to be prepared for that judgment? The fourth reality that you need to face right now is right now. The only reality you have right now is right now. That's all you've got. The Bible says that right now, you, all people are, but you are on one of two paths. Jesus described them in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus pleads with us in Matthew 7, verse 13, to enter by the narrow gate. He wants us to enter by the narrow gate. Why, Jesus? Because wide is the gate and broad is the way, he says, that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. He says it's a wide path, and he says many will go in thereat. Jesus says the majority of people are on the wide path that is leading to hell, and so he pleads with us, don't go on that path. He says, enter by the narrow gate, beginning of verse 13. Then he gets to verse 14. He says, because narrow is the way and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there be few who find it. At this very moment, right now, you are either on a path that is leading to heaven, or you are on a path leading to hell. There is not another path to be on. Which one are you on? This morning I want you to understand that you can know which one you're on. Not think, not hope, not wish. I want us to understand this morning, you can know which path you are on. But you need to know it. Not to be deceived by somebody into thinking you're on a certain path. Not to be led to believe. Not to be told by somebody, oh, you're on this path. No. Not accepting what somebody else says. Not being naive in that regard. But to know it because the Bible says it. You can know today. You can know if you are on the path that leads to eternal life. You can know it. John says in 1 John 5 and verse 13, that's why he was writing that book. I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He wanted Christians not to wander around in aimless hopelessness and, well, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven or not. He said, if you're a faithful Christian, you can know that it's yours. I want you to think about what the Bible tells us we must do in order to know that we have eternal life. Now, there's a lot of things we could come to the Bible to find to fill in the blank to that question. What do we need to do in order to know that we have eternal life? But all I want to do this morning is look at passages that have that word eternal in it. just passages that have that word eternal. How do I know if I've got eternal life? I can only know if I've got eternal life if I believe in Jesus. If I believe in Jesus. John 3 and verse 16. God sent His Son in order that those who believe in Him might have eternal life. Might have everlasting life. That's why He sent Him. It's so that through faith in Him, we could know that we have eternal life. Is that you? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? That's not the only thing, but that's an essential thing. If you don't believe He's the Son of God, you don't know that you have eternal life. But it's not just believing. Do you see this verse up here in verse 36? It's going to be on the next line. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, the Bible says, not only do I need to believe on Jesus, I need to obey Him. And it's interesting what happens in John chapter 3 and verse 36. The first part of verse 36 says, whoever believes in Him has eternal life, has everlasting life. Who does? Whoever believes. You know what the end of the verse says? But to those who do not obey Him, they do not have eternal life. What does God do in that verse? He takes believing and He says it's the same thing in God's eyes as obeying Him. You can't believe God and Jesus without obeying Him. He makes those two things in verse 36 synonymous. I cannot know that I have eternal life if I don't obey Him. That's why Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Eternity for those who obey Him. Have you obeyed God? Have you done what God says to do in this book? I can only know that I have eternal life if I have been freed from sin. Will you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 6? Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 6, where this word eternal is found at the end of the chapter. It's found more than once at the end of the chapter. But I want you to see Romans chapter 6. And I want you to answer the question this morning, have I been freed from sin? Because only those who are freed from sin have eternal life. That's what we learn when we get down to the end of this chapter, when we get down to chapter 6 and verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, you see it in verse 6, verse 22? Having been set free from sin, we became slaves of God. You have fruit to holiness in the end. What do you have at the end? When you have been freed from sin, what do you have at the end? Eternal, everlasting life. But you only have that if you've been freed from sin. How do I know if I've been freed from sin? Do you know Romans chapter 6 teaches you exactly how to be freed from sin? Back up, we won't look at all of this. Back up to verse 18. Verse 18, he says, having been set free from sin, same thing. I need to be freed from sin to have everlasting life. Verse 18 says, you've been set free from sin when? When you became slaves of righteousness. Well, when did that happen? Back up another verse. Go to verse 17. God be thanked that though you used to be slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So when I obeyed, what did I obey? We'll see it in a minute. I obeyed the form of doctrine. When I did, I was set free from sin. Having been freed from sin, what do I have? Everlasting life. Okay, so how do I get freed from sin? Back up some more. Go to verse 11. For the death that Jesus died, He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. Jesus died on the cross once for all. That was verse 10. I said verse 11. Here's verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ. How do I do that? I've got to be dead to sin, but alive to God, and it comes through the death of Jesus. All right, how do I do that? Go back up to verse 7. He who has died has been freed from sin, not died physically. He who has died to sin has been freed from sin. Perfect. So how do I die to sin? Back up another verse. We're just going to let this teach us, backing up one verse at a time. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin, my sin, that it might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So at some point, I was crucified with Christ, and my sin was taken away from me, and I was freed from sin so that I could have everlasting life. When did that happen? When did I die to sin? When was I freed from sin? When was it that I was crucified with Christ? Back up another verse, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. When is somebody united in the likeness of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ? You don't have to wonder. He tells you. Back up another verse. What does he say in verse 4? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, his death, the death of Christ, our death to sin, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When is it that I have eternal life? When I'm freed from sin. When am I freed from sin? When I die to sin. When do I die to sin? When I am united with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When am I united with Christ in his death, burial, resurrection? When I am baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. That's what Romans chapter 6 teaches. Do you know today that you have eternal life? You only know it if you have been freed from sin. You've only been freed from sin if you have been baptized into Christ for the freedom from those sins, for the forgiveness of those sins. Some of you have likely been baptized at some point in your life. Were you at that moment being baptized so that you could obtain at that moment something you did not already have? The freedom from sin, forgiveness of sins. Or were you, maybe perhaps more likely, baptized having been taught by somebody that you already were saved? That through belief in Jesus and acceptance of Jesus into your heart, that you were saved. Saved means free from sin, forgiven from sin, and then you were baptized later after that. The Bible does not teach that kind of a baptism. The Bible teaches that upon faith, one is baptized in order at that moment and not before to be freed from his sin by the blood of Jesus. That's what takes away our sin. The death of Jesus, where he shed his blood. The water doesn't take away the sin. His death, his blood does, but it only does that when I come in contact, when I'm united with him in death, when I'm baptized. Have you ever done that? If you've never been baptized for the express purpose of obtaining remission of sins at that point, you cannot know. You cannot know that you have eternal life. For those who have, the Bible calls upon us to live a life of righteousness, doing what the Lord bids us to do. The Bible calls on us to keep believing in him. Not to stop and say, well, I've been free from sin, that's good enough. No, I need to keep on believing. I need to keep on doing good, Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. I need to keep on fighting the good fight and laying hold of eternal life in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. I need to be the one who doesn't stop serving him, because all of these verses indicate that eternal life only comes when I continue and keep on serving him. You saw the word holiness in Romans 6 and verse 22. I cannot live like the world and know that I have eternal life. I must live different. I must live a holy life, set apart from the world, set apart unto God and to serving him. That's the only way. That's what Romans 6:22 says. I can only know I've got eternal life if I do that. I can only know I've got eternal life if I sacrifice self. And there's more that's discussed there in Mark chapter 10 than just sacrificing self. There are sacrifices that I need to make in my life as a Christian. But Jesus says in that passage, only those who make those sacrifices can know that they have eternal life. But today, God wants you to know that you have it. Not just think, not just wish, not just hope, not just, well, it might. No, He wants you to know it. He wants you to be absolutely certain of it. Are you? Those who know that they have eternal life have no fear of death. Because the Bible says death no longer has any power over them. Yes, they will still die, but that's no big deal because they're just going to be with the Lord. Today, if you do not know because of these things that the Bible teaches, if you have not done these things in order to know that you have eternal life, then the only other option is you can know that you have eternal damnation. There's only two choices. And if we don't do those things the Lord calls upon us to do to know that we have eternal life, then we can know that we don't have eternal life. And if I know I don't have eternal life because I haven't done these things He says to do, then I can know that I have eternal damnation. We don't have time to read the passages that are on the screen. The first two from Ephesians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 2 have that word know, K-N-O-W, in them. You can know because of unrighteousness. You can know because you're not serving the Lord that there's eternal damnation. Scariest verse in the Bible to me is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, when the Bible says that Jesus will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. And on those who do not obey the gospel of Christ. These individuals who do not obey Him, He says in verse 9, these will be punished with an everlasting destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. This day there are four realities facing you. And friend, you know right now, you know which one is yours. That 21-year-old nursing student picked her friend up from work 2 o'clock in the morning. In a car accident 10 minutes later. And died in the hospital. She was in a car accident Saturday 2:10 a.m. Don't you know she had other plans? She was planning to go back to her apartment and get in her bed and go to sleep. The next day was Saturday. What do college students do on Saturday? She had plans to sleep in. She had plans. She was planning to graduate in just a few months. She was planning to devote her life to be a pediatric nurse and to help little children. She had plans. The last thing she had on her mind was dying that night. What plans do you have? Do you know that you're going to heaven? And if you don't know it because of what the Bible says to do, thanks be to God, you're faced with the reality of right now you can do something. Right now you can make a choice. Not to impress anybody here. Not to show off to anybody here. You can make a choice that says, God, this day I want to leave this place knowing that I'm going to heaven and not have any question about it. You can make that choice today. God is calling you to make that choice today. Will you not come without delay right now as together we stand and sing?